Welcome to Visions and Voices, a podcast which highlights ordinary people doing extraordinary work in your community. I am James Nguyen, your host, and today we have a special episode which will highlight Mental Health Awareness Month. And also, today is National Child Mental Health Day. I am sitting here today with Ms. Simone Blanchard, a licensed clinical professional counselor, licensed in the state of Maryland, but also in the District of Columbia. And your specialty around your professional counseling is trauma. But also, let's get to the meat of it now. So you're a program director of Volunteers of America Chesapeake, the Targeted Case Management Program, and you're also program director of the Wraparound Services for Children related
to
mental health.
That is true.
But also an author of the book Good Touch, Bad Touch, How to Tell the Difference, and founder, owner, CEO of your own consulting firm, Interlight Consulting Therapeutic Services, and also founder of Keeping Our Children Safe Initiative in Prince George's County. Let's start with Keeping Our Children Safe Initiative in Prince George's County. The reason I want to start there is it seems like that may be tied to other counties or a larger initiative. Tell me about that.
So Keeping Our Children Safe Initiative was started about 5 years ago. And what I set out to do was to connect with community leaders, community organizations, community events on targeting topics that directly impact our children's mental health. I was reading an article the other day, and it is something like 17 million children that have some type of mental health disorder. And this number is said to grow.
Wow.
That's a very, very large number. And so with the Keeping Our Children Safe Initiative, we talk about, obviously, my book, Good Touch, Bad Touch, How to Tell the Difference. And this is a tool that educators, parents, counselors, any professionals, medical doctors can use to start the building blocks for educating our children. One out of four children, girls in particular, are reported to have experienced sexual abuse. And one out of six males are reported to have experienced sexual abuse. Now, how does this tie into mental health? We know that when children experience sexual abuse or adverse childhood adversities, they are more likely to develop mental health disorders. They're more likely to abuse drugs and substances, more likely to commit suicide and or attempt. They have a tendency to lead shorter lives and just not do very well as they go into the young adult stage of development in their life.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. 17 million, is that national, international?
That's national.
That's a national in the United States.
Yes.
Do you have numbers on children in this area in Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia that are,
diagnosed? I don't have numbers of children per se that are diagnosed in this local region, but I can say that there has been an increase of substance abuse disorders ranging from middle school on up. There are large diagnoses of ADHD, conduct disorder, learning disabilities. Depression ranks really high. And we're even seeing a spike in bipolar disorder, which was not typical for this age group. But
I was going to ask you that. Bipolar disorder in children?
Yes.
How? Because I see some children. I have five children myself. I might categorize some of them as bipolar. just in normal day-to-day, because they're happy one minute, and the next minute, the whole world is crashing down.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened. They were outside playing, you know, and I don't know why now the world is ending.
Yeah.
But so I know it's much more serious than that, but tell me about that.
So, you know, adolescence is a very challenging stage, simply because there's a lot going on the physical level. We're talking about puberty and hormones, and you know, the body is essentially trying to get ready to become a young adult or an adult. And so those changes impact our children in a lot of ways. Our hormones are largely responsible for our mood. So that is very normal if you're kind of seeing that range in that age range of adolescence, because they're going through a lot physiologically. What I'm talking about is anything that is persistent for 2 weeks or longer, where their moods are shifting or changing without anything really happening in their normal environment. So, I mean, if there was like a death of a parent or some type of life situation, then naturally we would see why the child would be challenged. But if there's no change in their normal day-to-day life, we would want to look at it more closely. Along with those mood or fluctuations in mood, their ability to think becomes disorganized. Their decision-making becomes challenged. And we're all talking about what is age-appropriate, right? Because depending on the ages, children should be able to meet certain milestones. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. Right. But if you feel like something is going on with your child and there's nothing that is really provoking this, like a life situation or something happening at school or a bad touch, nothing has really brought this on, the best thing is to take them to your pediatrician and have them to be checked out to make sure that it's not a medical condition, but that it is something more serious that's going on.
Right. I want to ask you about ADHD. There are some folks who believe that this diagnosis is unfairly sometimes placed on children of color or children who come from impoverished backgrounds or low-income children. There's sometimes they have this label and it's unwarranted at best.
I think, James, you touched on a very important point. If a child is coming from a family background that is challenged or that is unstable, it's going to be very hard for them to be able to focus and pay attention, particularly if the child's needs are not being met at home or their abusive situations that are happening at home.
When you say needs not being met, what do you mean?
You know, your basic needs, that they don't maybe have food, they don't have appropriate shelter, they're not being taken to the medical doctor to have physicals done.
Gotcha.
There may be some substance abuse going on in the home, or there may be some violence that's happening in the home. It's impossible for a child to be able to sit still and focus on school, particularly in these communities, when all of this is kind of happening around them. So I believe, and I guess I may be a little biased because I am a trauma specialist, I believe that a lot of what people are seeing as ADHD could probably be more like PTSD, because just think, if you're seeing or witnessing your parents being abused, if you're not having the things that you need to be successful, if there is no food in a home, how are you going to be able to sit down in school and focus? Mm-hmm. I had one case where a child had gone through a severe traumatic event where he was taken from his mom by force of the police, and they couldn't understand why the child couldn't sit still. And so a part of what I do as a program director at Volunteers of America Chesapeake is I advocate for our children.
Right.
And I had to really press upon the administration in that school that we need to really look at what's happening behind the scenes,
right,
at his home before we slap a label of ADHD.
Now, you said PTSD.
Yes.
And That's post-traumatic stress.
Disorder. Yes.
You didn't know I knew that. But anyway, that diagnosis often goes along with veterans who are coming home from war.
It does. It does. So and that is... Go ahead.
And I know you explained it a little bit, but maybe a little bit more about how it relates to a child.
That PTSD originally, as you said, was given to our veterans, but more research was done, and we started to notice that a lot of those symptoms that our veterans experience also happen to civilians, and it looks very much the same, because the body kind of responds to trauma in the same way. When a body feels threatened or that it's under attack, it's going to go into that fight or flight syndrome.
And most of us know what that means.
Exactly. Right. And so if a child is in an abusive situation that is unpredictable or that is unsafe, just like, you know, and it's not to take anything away from our veterans being in a war field, to a child, it may feel like they're in a war field and their bodies respond like they're in a war field.
Gotcha.
Because it's very unstable in their environment and they don't know what's going to come next. Is mommy going to be abused and then me, or is something going to happen to my siblings? So all of these things are going through their mind. So I just hope that people will begin to ask more pertinent questions as to what is happening in the home with these children that they're labeling with ADHD, right, and really get it right.
Gotcha.
Really get it right, because if you're treating it like ADHD and it's really PTSD because of the experiences that they're experiencing, these children are not going to get any better because you're not treating it properly.
What can a parent do? Of course, you know, you have extensive background and training, and you understand all of this. These acronyms and words just flow, you know, they come out like marching soldiers right out of your mouth. But most of us, we don't really understand this, and we just go to the doctor. Yeah, your child has ADHD. Okay. What can a layperson do? What can a parent do who's concerned and may feel like their child has been misdiagnosed or even not? Just what can they do to ensure that this is the right diagnosis?
I think that we have come to a society where we want results now, and it's easy to put a pill in my child's mouth and then, boom, their mood shifts and changes. I think that we need to come away from immediate trying medication, and we need to try some behavioral modifications. And we have people in the school system that we work with. In many of these schools that children are being overdiagnosed, they have therapists inside of the schools, they have psychiatrists there, they have a whole team that can kind of get around the family and help them. And through my wraparound program at Volunteers of America Chesapeake, we really show you how to wrap around services.
So what if it's the school that's where the diagnosis came from, and that's not the true diagnosis, they really have PTSD, or they might be bipolar or whatever, you know, it is, or it might just be they had a bad day or a bad few days or something.
Or something's going on in the home.
Right.
If you feel that, you know, your child has not been diagnosed properly, I would say go for a second opinion. I would say go for a third opinion. So reach out to a skilled therapist that specializes. And this is very important because you have a lot of therapists that say, you know, I'm eclectic, I can do this and I can do that. But no one can do everything, but you really need to get a skilled therapist who specializes in that to really do a thorough workup and assessment. And that should go along with a medical workup and assessment, because some medical illnesses can really look like a mental health disorder.
Got you. So you can go to your pediatrician.
Yes, you can.
Tell your pediatrician, hey, my child's been diagnosed with this disorder or this disease, whatever, this mental health disorder, and I'd like a second opinion. I'd like you to do a full assessment initially or at first, and then refer me to someone who specializes in these specific things.
Yes, particularly if you're dealing with someone that has trauma. go to a trauma specialist such as myself.
How do people get in touch with you? We want to talk about the book, Good Touch, Bad Touch. So we're going to take a break right here, and awesome. Then we'll come back. But first, give me a website, something where folks can get in touch with you and your consulting services.
So my website is innerlighttherapist.com, and all of my information, location, book is on the website.
We'll be back in a few minutes.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? Amid the chaos? Or is the best time perhaps today? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Vision and Voices, a monthly podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. And we are here again with Ms. Simone Blanchard, a licensed clinical professional counselor specializing in trauma. We talked a lot about your consulting firm and the work you do with children and all types of childhood diagnosis. I really want to talk more about Good Touch, Bad Touch. How did that come to be? Because I know a lot of people that want to write books, or at least mm-hmm. say they do. How did you do it? And what
led me to it?
Yes.
So as I said, I'm a trauma specialist, and I do trauma groups at Prince George's County Correctional Facility in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And I was doing the trauma group there for the women. And I just kind of felt like I needed to come at this from a different level. And so I wanted to try prevention instead
Can
of
I
intervention.
Just stop you one second, only because maybe two months ago, we had a woman here, Ms. Lauren Hodge, from a group called Mission Launch. Mm-hmm. And they particularly work with women in reentry. And you just said that you work with women in the Prince George's County Correctional Facility who also have mental health. My thought is there's some connection there, but I'm sure you'll tell me about that.
Yes, there is some connection in between being incarcerated and having a mental health condition, as I expressed earlier. When sexual abuse occurs very early on, you are more likely to be incarcerated. And you're more likely, and the research is trying to still kind of fizz this out, to commit more violent charges. And particularly we're seeing this in our female population, whereas women were not committing more violent charges, they are now. And then you look back in a history and you see extensive abuse of all sorts very early on in their life. And so I do the trauma groups there, and I started the Keeping Our Children Safe initiative in Prince George's County, and I would do these workshops and events for children and for their parents. And people would say to me, you know, do you have something that I can really show my child or do with my child or read to my child? And so it kept happening and happening. I was like, I really need to create something mm-hmm. outside of this because there's a need. And my book was birth.
So Good Touch, Bad Touch is a children's book?
It is a children's book. Oh. However, inside the children, first of all, what makes the book different is that it's multicultural. I wanted it to kind of speak to any ethnicity, any race, because I wanted people to kind of feel secure in exploring it because it is a very touchy topic. It also helps children to talk about consent, to not keep secrets, to keep telling until you find someone that will listen. And more importantly, you can create a safety plan with your child. And that's what I really love about this book.
How do people get the book?
You can get the book from my website, which is innerlighttherapist.com. And I would strongly recommend you to do this because we need to really teach our children how to keep themselves safe. And this is an easy way to do that. The book is geared toward ages 2 through 12. It's a very easy read. It's, you know, I made it that way because I wanted parents and children to feel safe and comfortable with going over this topic because it is a very challenging topic, but it happens so often that we don't have a choice. We have to.
All right. And sometimes parents don't know that their child is being abused or touched. It could be a babysitter. It could be someone at school, another child, maybe a playmate or something like that. And what we're finding and what you're pointing out is all of these things could be related. Not necessarily that it actually is, but a person could have or a child could have ADHD or PTSD or bipolar disorder as a result of being abused
very early on. That is what the research is showing. You know, I deal with children through my wraparound program, and parents are like, my child is out of control and I don't know why. But they never ask the right question. And to me, my goal in my job is to have every educator, every parent, every teacher, every medical doctor to ask the right question. Did something happen to you?
Right.
They never ask that. They see this child that's out of control, that's using drugs and doing all these things, but they never ask, what happened to you? And you have to ask that question to really allow the child to say, this happened or that happened, or, you know, when I was this age, because it festers and then all of a sudden it just comes out,
right?
You know? And so parents need to start asking that question. Did something happen to you?
And the book, Good Touch, Bad Touch, How to Tell the Difference, talks about that and helps not only parents, but the children to ask that question.
Yes. And to create the safety plan with the caregiver and the child, which I think is so important, because you want to know if it did happen, who would your child tell?
Right. And I want to thank you again. We're going to go take another break now. And then when we come back, we'll talk about your work with Volunteers of America and the wraparound program, as well as targeted case management.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Vision and Voices, a monthly podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. I am James Nguyen, your host. And I am with Ms. Simone Blanchard, a licensed clinical professional counselor, as well as program director of the Targeted Case Management Program and Wraparound Children's Services for Volunteers of America, Chesapeake.
I just wanted to talk about what our adult case management services look like and how to kind of be eligible to become a part of our program.
Please do.
So you need to have a mental health diagnosis and or suspect that there is a mental health diagnosis. You need to be eligible for Medicaid in Prince George's County and be a Prince George's County resident. You can have either at-risk behavior, so that could mean at-risk for being institutionalized in a psychiatric hospital or incarceration or homeless. Mm. And pretty much you would fit the criteria to get our adult targeted case management services.
Can you go into a little more detail with that at-risk behavior? What exactly does that mean?
At risk just basically means that if we don't intervene, then more than likely you will end up in one of those systems, either the system of correction, the psychiatric system, or the homeless system. And so we really want to prevent that through our adult targeted case management. It is goal-oriented, where we work with the clients to set their goals, which means that we allow you to build up your challenges and expand your strengths.
Is there a facility?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a facility, and we are located at 4611 Assembly Drive, Lanham, Maryland, Suite D, 20706 is our address.
Okay. Now, when you say facility, does that mean it's 24 hours that people are actually living here, or is this a place where people come, get counseling, get what other goals they're working on, whether it's employment or and you could tell me more about the specific goals.
So when you say facility, it is not residential where you can stay. Okay. However, you can come to have an intake done, or if you need to utilize the computers to do employment readiness skills or apply for your Medicaid or any other entitlement benefits, we welcome you to do so. With an appointment. Our hours of operation are from 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday.
And 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m.
Yes, right? That's correct.
With this program, how many people do you serve? And you said Prince George's County, you have to be a Prince George's County resident. What if I'm not a resident of Prince George's County?
If you are not a resident of Prince George's County, and I have had some, we will try to do our best to see what we need to do to get you to be a county resident so that you can receive services, because we recognize that people are transit and you may not have a set address. And so we would do our best to try to get you connected so that you can become a Prince George's County resident to receive our services.
Now, we talked a lot about children, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong. This is Child Mental Health Awareness Day.
Yes.
And also Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
You specialize in trauma for both youth and adults.
I do.
Okay. Tell me quickly about Mental Health Awareness Day, Childhood Mental Health Awareness Day, and Mental Health Awareness Month. How did that come to be, and what types of celebrations or what have you?
Well, as I said, you know, there are 17 million children who have known mental health diagnosis. And so that's a very large number where we need to have a mental health awareness day for children. We need to really understand what's happening, that this number continues to grow, and then understand what services we're missing and where we need to plug in to make sure that our children are productive and that they know about their mental health and have awareness about it to advocate for themselves. Mental Health Awareness Month, as we know, is about helping people to understand what it is. What are the signs? What are the symptoms? And then most importantly, what is the treatment? And then looking at the prognosis, which is the outcome. You know, people think that if you have a mental health illness, that you're sentenced some kind of way, and you're not. There is hope and there is help, and you have to reach out for that hope and help. And so it brings and sheds light on an issue that really needs to be addressed, because so many adults are being diagnosed with mental health as well as children.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Simone, for coming out and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom with us. I want to thank you for all the work you're doing in the community, not only with Volunteers of America, but your own initiatives, working with children, and your book, which is so amazing. So one more time, give us your website. Give us how we get in touch with you.
So the website is innerlighttherapist.com. You can purchase the book on the website.
Now, if someone wanted to help or support you with your targeted case management program, how do they go about doing that? If they wanted to give donations or volunteer, etc.
You can email me at sblanchard@voaches.org to do referrals, to make donations, to see how you can help. Intern, we need it all. Just email me and we'll go from there.
Great, great. And also, if you want to get in touch with Volunteers of America in general, you can go to voachesapeake.org. I am James Nguyen, your host of Vision and Voices, a monthly podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. And we are on Dragon Digital Radio of Howard Community College. Yeah.